Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. You know, we were impressed that we should talk today about forgiveness. Now, we realize that forgiveness isn't a wow subject, like prosperity, healing, or success. However, if we don't have forgiveness in our hearts and our actions, the wow words will never be a reality, or at least a lasting reality in our lives.
In 1 John 1:9, very familiar scripture, it says, "But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from every wrong." Hallelujah.
According to Strong's Concordance, the Greek word for forgiveness is G-863, and it means to send away, to bid going away, or depart, to send forth, yield up, to expire, to let go, let alone, let be. In other words, forgiveness means that we should send offenses packing. We should give no place to things and ways that others may have offended us. Forgiveness should be done with words and actions. In other verses, forgiveness is defined as to remit a debt, to give up resentment, or claim for requital or pardon an offense. Christian forgiveness is a thought which must become an action. If we sin against others, we sin against God. It's that simple. For this reason, we must ask God to forgive us of our sins, but we must also forgive our fellow man. Some would ask, why should we forgive someone who isn't seeking forgiveness? If you hear nothing else on today's call, please hear this. Forgiveness isn't for the benefit of others. It's for your benefit, my benefit, our mental and spiritual well-being. The Word of God instructs us to forgive others, releasing their offense. That's what it says.
In Romans 12, verse 19, Classic Amplified Bible, says, "Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave the way open for God's wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay or requite, says the Lord."
If you've been wronged, know you did nothing to deserve such harsh treatment from the offender, you might think of retaliation. I mean, after all, that's what they do on television and the movies, but it's not what the Word of God says we're to do. Let's talk about seven things forgiveness isn't. Number one, forgiveness isn't condoning the offense. I remember once when I'd been deeply offended as I was pondering the possibilities of my response. In a life-changing moment, the Spirit of the Lord said to me, "Either you can deal with this, or I will. If you want me to handle it, then forgive him. Take your hands off the matter." Forgiveness is giving the consequence of the person's actions to God. In essence, we are transferring the person from our judgment. Let me say that again. We're transferring the person from our justice system to God's.
Hallelujah.
That's what I meant to say. Forgiveness isn't condoning the offense. It's turning the matter over to the righteous judge who keeps the books on all human actions and reactions. Number two, forgiveness isn't, it isn't continually thinking about the offense. I remember once praying about a particularly and personally damaging offense against me. As I was praying for justice and vindication, the Lord spoke three words to me. He simply said, "Get over it." Not exactly what I wanted to hear, but it was clear. Get over it. Now, I'll tell you, that's easier said than done. But I'll also tell you, it can be done as you discipline your mind to think only on the pure, the powerful, and the positive from the Word of God.
Number three, forgiveness isn't restoring trust. You know the old saying that says, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Well, we've added a third one. It says, fool me three times, God's, he just may get you for that one. That's a little humor thrown in there. But seriously, if someone has offended you, they're going to need to earn your trust back again. Someone once said, if a person's a thief, it's foolish to give him the key to your house. If he's a pedophile, you definitely are going to be derelict to hire him as a babysitter. So as such, forgiving a wrong does not mean extending the person an invitation to sin again. Number four, forgiveness isn't synonymous with becoming buddy-buddy again. Forgiveness is releasing a person from their offense in your eyes. It's not necessarily reestablishing the relationship to its previous state. In fact, it's unwise to reconcile your relationship with someone who's really not willing to change or unrepentant about what they've done. But you can shake off the dust from your feet and you can move on.
Number five, forgiveness doesn't mean you're wrong. Just because you ask someone for forgiveness doesn't mean you automatically accept the blame for what happened. Asking someone to forgive you is giving them the opportunity to forgive you. For instance, if I've offended you in any way, please forgive me.
Number six, forgiveness isn't necessarily easy. The word never says that forgiveness is easy, but it clearly states that it is a command and that we need to honor that command. If we want to go and grow in the kingdom of God, we're going to have to learn how to forgive others.
Number seven, forgiveness isn't about them, it's about you. This is real simple. Forgiveness gives you back control of your life.
Can anybody say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
To that?
Now, here are seven steps to godly forgiveness. First, recognize that you are a sinner in need of forgiveness. Psalm 51:2, King James. No, I'm sorry, Amplified, Classic Amplified. Wash me thoroughly and repeatedly from my iniquity and guilt, and cleanse me and make me wholly pure from my sin.
Second, choosing to forgive others is just that. It's a choice we make. In Matthew 6:14-15, Matthew 6:14-15, it says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins.
Third, experience forgiveness in your life. 1 John 1:9. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from every wrong.
Fourth, take captive any thought that is blocking your ability to forgive. In Ephesians 1:7, it says this, he is so rich in kindness that he purchased our freedom through the blood of his son, and our sins are forgiven.
Fifth, allow the word to instruct you on how to forgive those who've hurt you. Colossians 3:12-14. Colossians 3:12-14 in the Message Bible. So chosen by God for this new way of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of whatever you do, whatever you put on, wear love. It's your basic, all-purpose garment. Never be without it.
Six. Forgiveness is linked to your power to move mountains. In Mark 11:22-25, it says, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever, he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. Notice, honey, how it says there, you have the power to move mountains, but you have to forgive and not have aught against others.
It's true. That limits and inhibits sometimes, sadly. Seventh, who should make the first move? Who should make the first move? Matthew 5:23-24. Matthew 5:23-24 in the Message Bible. This is how I want you to conduct yourself in these matters. If you're in a place of worship and about to make an offering, you suddenly remember a grudge a friend has against you, abandon your offering. Leave immediately. Go to this friend and make things right. Then and only then, come back and work things out with God.
You could teach a whole sermon on that.
We can. In fact, I think we did once.
I'm sure we have.
The scripture is quite clear. If you have unforgiveness in your heart, go make it right before giving an offering. Scripture clearly states that our offering will be hindered if there's an offense in our hearts. It's so important that the scripture says to drop everything and deal with it immediately. I have seen, and unfortunately evidenced, personal cases where a person did not receive, even respond to my request for forgiveness. Sad as it is, it's true. If a person doesn't receive or respond to your request for forgiveness, then the consequence of their decision is between them and God, and you have done what's right before the Lord. Matthew 5:25-26. Matthew 5:25-26 in the Message Bible.
It clearly points out that we're to make the first move to make things right with someone who's offended us or with whom we have unforgiveness in our hearts. And this is what the scripture says. Or say that you're out on the street and an old enemy accosts you. Don't lose a minute. Make the first move. Make things right with him. After all, if you leave the first move to him, knowing his track record, you're likely to end up in court, maybe even jail. If that happens, you won't even get out without a stiff fine.
You need to remember, as you meditate on today's teaching, or maybe even listen to it again in the playback, as we said earlier, forgiveness is for your benefit. Forgiveness is for your benefit.
Let me say one other thing that I learned on this very scripture in Matthew 5:25-26. If you're wanting to do something and the enemy is attacking you because you know you're doing the wrong thing, you need to go ahead and forgive. I mean, and ask forgiveness of God. And the enemy can hold things against you if you have the wrong ideals and attitudes in your heart. He can hold that against you in the court of heaven. You don't want anything, even the enemy. I mean, if you're trying to rationalize you've done something and you know it's wrong, you need to go ahead and confess it and let it go and not let the enemy have that kind of hold over you. And then you have a clear conscience before God.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I was going to say, you need to think about this
today. Yeah, there's a lot to think about today.
Meditate on it.
I'll say.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you've been blessed by the teaching, go to haroldherring.com. At the top, where it says sow a seed, just ask God what seed he'd have you put in the ground. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. While you're there, check out this week's two-minute video. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.